It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, your freaking Friday has arrived. You did it, everybody.
Congratulations.
Scott, you did it. We made it
to
Friday.
You're a winner.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you're talking about caps, right? From
I picked up a soda cap.
Soda caps.
I picked up, and by the way, it's full of water, you'll notice. But I was at a golf tournament today, and they had run out of water.
So I'm not judging you.
No, I know, but I dumped the Coke Zero, and I filled it with water.
Oh.
And then I did the thing where I looked at it, and I was just showing you. I go, remember when, and I looked under the cap for no reason. It said a thing like on here, like, hey, you can win. And I twisted the top off, and it's got, I don't know, 16 numbers and letters. It looks like a VIN number on your car. Because that, remember when you could just open the top, and it just said, you win. And maybe it was 1 in 4 is a winner. And you could do it, and it would say, hey, you want a Sprite. You want a Coke.
Right.
That's all I – why can't we get back to that?
True story.
Okay. There's real toys inside cereal anymore either. You can just register for crap. It's garbage.
Cracker Jack, same thing.
Gonzo.
It's all gone by the way.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, okay? True story.
Okay.
Pepsi had a thing, right? And you would pull off the bottle top.
Yeah.
And you had – it was like the left half of $1 million. Like they had a thing
right.
where they had $1 million.
No, it was like the Monopoly with McDonald's.
Right, but
yes.
this was like I was in like junior high school. Okay, so I get the left half, and I think the right half was the really hard one to get. Wow, Tom Curl just walked in. Walked in the building.
Look who's freaking
Look
here.
What the cat drug in today.
No, this is good.
Okay, you got to hear this. Okay, so you'd always get the left side. I was at a party. Getting ready to go back to school, like one of my friends had.
Sure.
And it was at their cabin up in the mountains. They had all this soda pumper. I get the right half of $1 million. I get the right half. And I'm sitting here. I've won. I set it in a special place where I would not lose it.
You are.
And I lost
bull.
It. And I lost it.
No, I know. Everybody
no,
had,
I'm telling
everybody
I,
had
never
Park
say
place.
Never, but never.
I know. Everybody had Park Place on McDonald's too, and you go, all I gotta do is get Broadway. Or no, what was the other one? What were the two expensive
ones? Broadway.
Park Place and
Broadway.
It was Broadway.
Yeah.
Boardwalk. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So those are the ones that you're going, hey man. But you would
never
see Boardwalk. They made one.
I got $1 million.
So the one out of the million that
I
they
got $1 million.
By the way, you were an NFL player, so you got $1 million.
Not when I was in the seventh grade.
I'm just saying, get to the point where we can open up the top on a soda and you can win
just
something.
Win $1 million.
Or
Let's
something.
Get back to those days.
In the afternoons anymore.
Okay.
See, I'm sorry. I'm an old man about it. I'm just saying. Give me the tops I can twist off, and I don't have a VIN number for Coca-Cola to type.
I like that old man, by the way.
I know.
He's my new favorite person. And it's not what he says. It's how he says it.
It's not in the afternoons anymore.
I know. It's like, hey.
Anymore.
And it's the one time when you go, hey, we're really excited about the program. And then the guy jumps in and goes, I got something to say. You know why? Jerry Seinfeld did a whole bit about it, right, where he goes, I don't know, at one point you just don't stop looking when you reverse anymore. He goes, I think people just look and they say, I'm old and I'm coming back. and I get it because I don't like turning around anymore.
I'm really close to that point.
I know, because we have the cameras. At some point you just –
Cameras, I've got yes, the sensors, the beepers.
Beeps at you. Come on. All right, we got tons to get through today. Welcome to your Friday. We're glad that you're getting there. We're almost there, all right? So, or we hope that you're there. We hope that you're already off of work or whatever and getting into your weekend. We got so much to jump into, so let's do it right here off the top. It is the cut right here at the top of the program.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of the cut. And, of course, as always, Unrivals presented by G2G. The G2G bar, you want to get into it, preservative-free, an amazing amount of protein. It tastes fantastic. You are going to love it. The G2G bars, you can find one near you at your grocer's freezers. All natural ingredients and no preservatives. Plenty of protein. G2G bars, perfect for anybody looking for that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. And that is you. So let's get going.
Apparently, Hans and Scotty are looking for some
G2G
bars.
Hey, listen, you can have all.
They didn't get any.
Look at you, Sid. Look at Here's the thing, though.
I got some.
We left them there
at the
office.
I'll rent you a G2G bar.
I'll rent you
Scotty,
one. We left some at the office.
Give me a call.
I'll tell you, though, there are no more sticky fingers than any other business in the entire world than the media business. Because if you leave something around on a desk, especially now that there aren't really any assigned desks, you're gonna get it. All right, so here's what we got here. I was looking today, and I've just been fascinated by kind of where we're at right now when it comes to, you know, when it comes to getting into this time of year. I get so excited about the scrimmages that we can't watch, right? BYU, Utah, we're having scrimmages, right? I mean, we're in fall camp and we're doing scrimmages and we're having this thing and we're jumping straight in. And then there's, you know, the idea of college football is upon us, and yet we don't really have the same type of a run-up to it like the NFL does.
Right.
And I think it was interesting, the idea of that Dabo – you like to call him Dabo?
Dabo. Hey, Dabo.
Dabo Sweeney had about this whole thing, which was this idea that we got to get to a college – the possibility of a college football preseason.
Yes.
The problem is, and I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Scott, because you already
– I don't think there's any problem with
you
it.
But you already told me the preseason's a waste in pro football.
Listen,
so how is it any different for college football? Well, even less, we don't want these kids to get hurt. We want them to be absolutely healthy. Kay. Let's get going. I don't want preseason college football.
Right. So these scrimmages for Utah BYU are happening this week, and all I care about is just make sure everyone's healthy. That's
yeah.
it.
Like, yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
get anybody hurt. None of it prepares you for the regular season. You talk to every coach in college football, and they're all going to say to you, yeah, the biggest growth we have every year is from game one to game two. And that first game of the season for everybody is this. It's a crapshoot. And teams actually – I mean, I watched Utah, and I've watched it for years now. They start slow every year, and they play teams that have no business playing with them, and they start slow. And then they kind of, by the third game, they've finally gotten into it. And quite frankly, it takes the first conference game for them to get up to the speed of the type of play they're going to have to deal with in conference. And so when you're young players, and here's the difference between the NFL and college football. These guys are young. They're a year or two, some of them just out of high school. They need more reps. They need more games, situations, simulations, whatever. College football training camp is awful. You go for a month, and anybody who's ever played football goes, I don't want to sit and practice for a month. I don't want to sit and bang heads for a month and never have any kind of something to look forward to after a week of practice. It's like another week of practice and another week. I mean, you're into this thing for 4 weeks before you ever get to a game. And the other thing that happens is you're competing against your own teammates. Well, here's a shocking news for you, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Florida does not play the same defense that Utah does. They don't have the same players.
What?
They don't have the So all of a sudden you've been practicing. You get in this rhythm and groove against your defense, and then you got to go face somebody else, and it's totally different. And so all of this, having a game, and you don't have to have a lot of games. You know, have one or two. Have a scrimmage with another program. I mean, do all these different things, because it will give you a real indication of where you are as a football team, and it'll give you some time to make the corrections so that when you get into the regular season, you don't lose a step. I mean, you have all these schools that are fighting to go, we have to go undefeated.
Right.
Like, if we're going to make it to
there's
the college.
There's only one shot here.
There's only one shot. So why not be at your very best for game one?
I don't know. There's something to, but see, there's something
and there's,
to me, though,
and there's
Scott.
All the, I mean, you look at Utah. Utah's playing Florida, an SEC school, a Power 5 school on day one. And everybody wants people to have a better schedule, better games earlier on in the college football season. Well, here's a great answer and solution to have better games is to give yourself more preparation in the insane month you have to practice in the fall and never have a game. That would drive me bananas to have to do that. Drive me bananas. I mean, but, Kyle Whittingham goes, yep, we're in the grind of fall camp. We're 1 week into it, and we're now in the grind of it. We got
coaches,
3 more weeks.
Well, so what's the point? Why would he want this, considering that, like, the last thing you want is for guys to get hurt before the actual season starts up. Well, as soon as you have one significant injury that happens, I mean, the reason they're bubble wrapping guys at BYU right now, and frankly, Utah's going to be also, you know, at these scrimmages, you already know who your starting quarterback is. You don't need to get him. I mean, it's different in camp because the guy's wearing a green jersey or a red jersey, whatever it might be. All right. And so that's it. But for some of these coaches, why on earth would they want to put themselves in the position? It would just take one injury for them to go, nope, this isn't worth it, us getting quote-unquote warmed up. And what would a preseason game look like?
Hello? The first 3 games of the year are what your preseason – you get your group of 5 schools, you get whomever. Let's say you have a scrimmage and 1 game.
So it's still going to be –
all you need is just 1 game.
It's still going to be a 13 – or a 12, 13-game season?
Call it 13.
Okay.
13 in a scrimmage. 13 in 13.5 games a year.
Well, which one is it? 13 plus 1?
No, so you have a scrimmage.
Which one doesn't count? Does one not count then?
Scrimmage doesn't the first two the scrimmage and the
Here's
preseason
Here's what will
game
be interesting though.
Don't count, okay?
The rankings, so, the preseason rankings, they might actually be worth something at that point. Once you start to see some teams in some live action, and this is where you can sneak in your BYU Utah not rivalry game. Actually, that one you don't do. What you do have is Utah State and Utah, maybe a little bit of an
inter. And they scrimmage.
Right.
And you have BYU and Dixie Southern Utah.
They're already playing in the real season. I know you're saying that on purpose because you're being a doofus about it.
Weber State.
Okay.
Weber State.
Jay Hill, bring him down.
Weber State, BYU.
Perfect.
Utah State. Scrimmage.
But those guys are going in.
And what you do.
And the smaller schools, and is it a money game? Because the
yes,
smaller schools are going in.
Of course it's a
in.
Money game.
The smaller schools are going in, and they're risking injury even more so than the bigger schools.
So then you have a real idea of what you have. Dan Campbell, who is the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
My new favorite person. Love watching Hard Knocks. And he goes, look, the science and the research has shown you have to practice at a certain level. You've got to be able to get some a real amount of physical exertion, or you're not going to be ready for the season. So having scrimmages against other schools, having a preseason game, actually helps you to not get injured. He that's what he said, because the players rolled their eyes when he came out day one, and it's like it was live. It's like everything was live to the ground. And all the players are like, we're professional players. We're like, how dare you? And he says, I know you all are looking at me cross-eyed and funny. He says, but I'm here to protect you. And he goes, I would never ask you to do something because I'm some lunatic.
Is that like your dad spanking you and saying, it's because I love you? Is it the same thing?
Well, look how you turned out. I mean, you're a prime example of a weekly beating. You know what I mean?
Like you can't say that on the radio in 2022.
Spanking.
Scott, that almost sounds worse, doesn't it? I remember the last time I got spanked. I was like 10 years old, right? And it was the last time because my dad did it, and I started laughing. and he's kind of like, well, this isn't – well, I think we've gotten to the point now this isn't working. And I was just like, this is a little bit too much. Look, now, the threat was always still there, though.
My mom, she could give you a whap on the behind with a spatula. Oh, my goodness.
My kids do the thing where they walk by.
Just, and the you metal know, one, she just –
oh, because I'll give
it
you
– like, it was like she could flex it, you know, where get bowed up.
What is this, then, a graphite then, shaft on a four iron?
I don't know, but – but then it just had this, like, just so.
Well, pow!
Bing! You know, it's just like, oh, my goodness. And she didn't need any space
to do it.
It was just like, you know,
bam.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. The best is that,
what,
like,
saved my life was when we moved into a two-story house.
Remember?
Because I'd run up the stairs.
Right.
And she wouldn't
run up. She didn't want to do it.
And she'd yell, come downstairs so I can beat you. We'll be right down, Mom.
Your mom is still with us. You can't say this kind of stuff.
I say it to my mom all the time.
I know. But you know, we used to remember when you'd have to walk past your dad to go to your room, and you do the thing where you go, whoo, you scoop past with the hands in front
and
of
then
the butt.
Get it with the wooden spoon on the hand.
Scott got the wooden spoon.
Look, my dad never laid a hand on me.
Yeah, mom was the disciplinarian.
But he was 10,000 times worse.
Because he was scary.
No, well, scary, but it was psychological. Because like he just ground you.
My dad. See, I didn't get grounded. My dad would do this thing, and I think people can relate with this. My dad would do the thing where he'd go, I'm so disappointed right now, right? And it meant something. When someone would go, let me tell you, I am disappointed in you right now. When my dad heard me cussing up a storm when I was giving a speech to my teammates, you know, as a team captain on week one going into my senior year.
See, my dad just cussed up a storm.
See, my dad heard it, and he looked and he goes, he saw me saying a level of foulness coming out of my mouth as a football player. And the guy played college football, and he played football in the Marines. You'd think that there wasn't some cussing going on in
probably
his life.
Probably invented words in the Marines.
But that's what I'm saying. But when I was saying it, and then he looked at me, and he just shook his head and walked off, and then he goes, I'm not that upset about it. I just know your mom would be disappointed. Oh, that was a killer one too, right?
Of course.
My heavens.
So getting back to the safety of actually having a preseason game, because it is in your best.
You're going to get spanked by your coaches, is what I'm
saying.
Yes. Okay.
All these players just need a good little spanking.
But there's no – but okay.
And off they go.
I get the argument to say that – but I think the format is where we kind of are splitting hairs here, because I would like to see college football earlier, certainly. But what does it mean? Is it really like – and do the games actually count? You would still affect the minds of voters and things like that in games that, quote-unquote, don't matter, right? In a preseason game that's supposed to be kind of a scrimmage.
I don't think
but they
can.
Would.
I don't
they
think,
would absolutely
well,
affect
fine.
It.
Fine, if they do it, whatever. Just think of having a scrimmage where you go – because everyone doesn't get to see the scrimmages now. Scrimmage against Utah State.
You can't see a thing.
And then you go – And the fans would show up, and you could, and it would be a great kickoff to the season, and people would be excited about it, and it would just create more interest. We're sitting here going, we're not going to see this team until they line up on September 3rd. Any of these schools, and you just go, what are they
going
to be?
You talk about going live. Your season's on the line. In the first 10 minutes of the season, you could be out of the college football playoffs if you don't have a good two quarters.
Exactly. And you have a much better idea of where your team is. Your team can make the corrections that it needs to make. You're far exceeding any kind of injury offset by improving the quality of college football from start to finish by having just you don't have to have a lot. Just have a preseason game. A scrimmage, and then after the preseason game, give yourself a little bit of time to practice, to make some corrections. Maybe if you do get bumped up a little in bumps and bruises, maybe have a couple of weeks before you actually get into your regular season, or you know, you have some time. But all these players would love it. The coaches would love it. The fans would love it. It breaks up a brutal monotony of a whole entire month of actually practicing with nothing to look forward to. And it's going to improve the quality of your team, because I'm just telling you, you get bored of playing against your same teammates day after day, week after week. Now it helps you. I mean, you know, you look at some of these guys where, like in the NFL, This Aiden Hutchinson kid from Michigan.
Yeah.
Guess who he gets to practice against every day in practice? Penei Sewell.
Right. Oh, right? Yeah.
So here you have the second pick in the draft going against, what, the fifth or 12th
right,
pick in the draft
before, yeah.
from a year before. And that's awesome, right, in that situation. But they also play games in the NFL, and they have an idea. I'm not a fan of a long preseason. I'm not at all. But I do like a game. Give us a game and let us get an idea. Let us get
come
where,
on, Scott.
Where we're at.
Aren't you satisfied by the fact that these schools will post a couple of plays on their social media in slow motion and say, wow, look how good we are? Isn't that a good enough taste for you to go, hey, look at this catch it was made in practice today?
Most people in the world today, sure it is. I mean, that's how we talk, we communicate, we live. I used to watch Barry Sanders, who was bubble wrapped when I was with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, how much did
he
play
didn't
in the play
preseason? He was bubble wrapped. He did not
so
play.
He never so he didn't have
no.
like even the first series of like
no.
preseason games on. Okay.
Nothing. Okay? And I'd watch every year, take Barry Sanders game and a half, you know, two games before he really started to get into
really?
A rhythm. Oh yeah, every year. Now, on the flip side of that, Dan Marino, while I was with the Miami Dolphins, played a little bit in the first game, a little bit more in the second game, went out after halftime in the third game. So he played to the half and through the half. Fourth game, played in the first half, and then he sat out the second half. So the whole preseason, he was playing more and more and more and more. And you watched him day one, it was like he was in midseason form.
Well, on the college level, though,
They need more reps, more. They need
it
more. They need more a ramp up, more like what Dan Marino had.
Well,
and today everything is like, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. If you're going to play me a series in the preseason, don't play me at all.
Tom Brady, I'm sitting out for personal reasons, and everybody goes, okay, fine, don't play a down in the preseason. I get it. 45-year-old Tom Brady doesn't need to play a preseason
Nothing.
Game as long as he lives, the rest of the time he lives. But here's the thing that happens at NFL preseason games. You pay basically full freight for these games. Tickets tend to be a little bit more available because the average person who might go to a Seahawks game or a Cowboys game in the preseason doesn't go to the preseason game necessarily. But I took my kids to preseason games when we've lived around NFL stadiums because it's a cheaper ticket. It was usually on like a Thursday or a Friday, so it was easier to get to. And then there's the part where in college, though, why not charge $5 and fill the stadium
right.
to three-quarters capacity? You talk about being able to fund the things that you want to do. The average person will pay $5 or $10 to get in the stadium to sit in some nice seats. How about $30 to sit in the reserve section or whatever? All these things are on the – and there's concessions and there's stuff like that, things you can take advantage of, I guarantee.
And what you do is you have an NIL deal with all of your players, and they're available after the game to actually sign autographs.
What about the freaking out part of the coaches who go, yeah, but we don't want these teams down the road to see what we're doing at our scrimmages?
Because all you do is you go vanilla. They know what your schemes are. They know that you're this – All this stuff.
So you already want to water down these preseason games with
I want them to get into a game situation.
Some live stuff.
And have to go at that pace.
I get it.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Tom Curl, the owner of the warehouse down here in Salt Lake City. The back-to-school sale is underway. 1825 South, 300 West. He's giving us a rundown of this little jaunt down to California. Don't call it a vacation. Woof. There's a lot of work down there going on. So Tom's here in the flesh. It's really good to see him. We've got Jazz gear down here. Come down and high-five us and get a Jazz shirt. This is some nice Nike stuff, too, that they're trying to get rid of. Because, hey, anytime there's a rebrand, you might need to get yourself some of the old brand and some nice shirts. So let's do it. 1825 South, 300 West. Scott, I saw one of your contemporaries saying something today that I thought was interesting, which was Neon Deion brought up that
Primetime
brought up that the NFL has gotten watered down when it comes to the Hall of Fame and the inductees that show up. And specifically, this is a real bust on the people that just got in. He was like, you look at the class of people that just got let into the Hall of Fame, and these are people who should not be standing next to me, basically, is what he said, right? And so he's saying that we've kind of watered down what it means to get into the Hall of Fame. See, yeah. I think it's the reverse. I think you got a lot of guys who got in because they were the early part of the game and they were kind of the pioneers. And we go, well, they were the best of their time, so we got to let them in. And their numbers are garbage because numbers now are insane. They play 17 games in a regular season. And so the numbers are going to be very, very different. And it's always going to be apples to oranges. But when he said that, I thought, I got to see what Scott thinks about what Deion Sanders said about how there are people in the Hall of Fame that probably shouldn't be there and definitely are not anywhere near the level of talent of
if you understand the process of how Hall of Fame voting goes, you could kind of understand why there's I don't want to say a consistent process in which people are actually voted in, but there is some bias to it, and here's how part of it goes. Yeah, and it's the same way that they determine who goes to college football playoffs. You have a committee, a group of voters, and they actually meet on this. They meet on this over multiple times during the year, but they have individuals who typically covered the player for most of their career.
Right.
Okay. So if let's just say you play for the Kansas City Chiefs. People all across the country don't necessarily follow the Kansas City Chiefs as much as maybe they do the New York Giants or they do some of these other teams. And so people, when they want to find out about the Kansas City Chiefs, you know where they go? They go to the local media, the daily beat writers who cover the team every day. Now, if you're in Detroit and you were to hear the beat writers talk about, like me when I played, you know, you'd say that I had no business being in the NFL, you know, because they were brutal. And then if you talk to the beat writers, they go, well, we're just here to echo what the fans think. So it's not an objective. And you also remember
everybody hides behind some.
What
excuse,
are people right? trying? What are people trying to do who own newspapers? They're trying to sell it. Right. So they have to have it as inflammatory as they possibly can. So there's a lot of bias. Now, when I played for the Miami Dolphins, different story, different vibe on how people actually felt about the team. So then you get years down the road, and you go, well, how, you know, that guy was pretty good, or you know. So let's talk about that player right now. And people either have this built-in bias, or they forget how good the player was, or that the player was, you know, kind of average or not super great. I mean, every year I can't argue with Deion Sanders and say, yeah, I didn't see that guy as a Hall of Famer. You know,
or there are people,
like Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas is a linebacker, played for the Miami Dolphins.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Oh.
And every year, everyone, Richmond Webb, who I played with, who really early on in his career, Richmond Webb is as good a left tackle as there was in the NFL. Like, he went up against Bruce Smith, Richard Dent, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, you know, I mean, the best of the best his rookie year, and shut him down. Didn't give up a sack in the entire game. And you go, amazing. Richmond Webb is nowhere near the Hall of Fame.
Is there a
disparity? Then you go Tony Boselli,
right.
And Tony Boselli was a good player on an okay team with an okay organization. But there was this perception that Tony Boselli, and I'm not knocking Tony Boselli, but I'm not saying Tony Baselli's any better than Richmond Webb.
Well,
and there's just
Deion Sanders is saying something here that I think that we already know. Like in the NBA or in the Basketball Hall of Fame, right? The like when you think across the entirety of the world of let's just say pro basketball, of course there are going to be guys who aren't on par with Michael Jordan, with Larry Bird, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There are going to be guys that we're always going to go, huh? So what exactly is the standard? The real problem is that there's no real standard to go by because
right.
Standards change. Everything changes. The
eras
the guys
change.
And the writers who are typically the ones who are writing this thing up or the ones who are doing the voting, it's hard because they look at it and they go, well, this is why we voted them in. This is why we liked them. And it's totally subjective.
Rules change, Alex.
And the rules
changed. I mean,
it's very different from when you played.
There was an era, like in my era of football, if you threw for 3,000 yards, oh my goodness, that was an amazing, insane
right.
NFL season. If you had a 300-yard game, it was an amazing, feat.
We'd barely see him, right?
Right, and now it's like it's 4,000. It's really 5,000 yards. I mean, if for a guy to have 30,000 yards in their career passing,
they go, yeah, I don't know if we're going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Like insane.
We're
now it's like 50, 60, 70,000
right.
yards in a career. And it's all because the rules have changed.
Yes.
It's not necessarily these players are better or could be better. I mean, they're players back in an era that, you know, would have had similar types of stats as today's players. You want to know who the real MVP should be or the real Hall of Famer should be? It's television. I mean, the NFL is
the real MVP. TV.
Is nothing without television. If you don't have television, and it happened in 1958, it was the first time an entire nation watched the New York Giants play the Baltimore Colts, and it changed everything. And a sport that was very regionalized, and what you heard about it was what you read about it. And now, because football is so visual, you know, the hits and the contacts and the plays, they're so visual, and it comes to life so beautifully on television. So you know, all these players throughout generations have certainly benefited from that. And Johnny Unitas for years was like the poster child. This is the best player ever to play in the NFL, and it all stemmed from that time. And then all of a sudden it became the Pittsburgh Steelers or the 1972 Miami Dolphins, but they were on television and people got to see, you know, how great these organizations were. But it's also, you know, you look at some of the like bigger market teams, you're just going to have an advantage of getting guys into the Hall of Fame over places that are these smaller markets. And a lot of that also is television. And television said, we're going to show the Chicago Bears. We're going to show the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to show the New York Giants. And we'd like to show teams in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And really, those are the markets. And so who has the most Hall of Famers of all time? We learned this educational, remember, on Monday, the trivia game that you didn't answer anything.
Right on.
Right?
Thank you. It was not a trivia game. It was true
or false. The Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so – and there's a lot of Dallas Cowboys who are in the Hall of Fame, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, the really television. And I mean, Deion Sanders played for the Dallas Cowboys, and not to say Deion wouldn't have made it otherwise, but so the media and the media bias and the media exposure has so much to do with and play into whether these guys make it in the Hall of Fame or not. And it's subjective.
Of course it is.
There's no, you know, it's just like college football and the college football playoffs. And when it's subjective, you're always going to scratch your head and go, huh?
Let's take another break. We'll come back. We have our what are the odds around the corner. So we're going to stick with it here, and we're going to throw out our predictions. We also, coming up at the top of next hour, we've got our bold and stupid picks.
Oh, good. I got some good ones,
our
too.
Our annual bold and stupid picks for college football. And look, it's if it's not bold and if it's not stupid, we don't want it.
Not on this show.
So you better have you better bring the bold and you better bring the stupid. So let's get it going. We're going to be coming back. We're here at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. It's Unrivaled, brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Gods. Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby.
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen?
This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by G2G Bars. Give them a shot. Your local grocer's refrigerated section, Holiday Oil, Maverick, Costco, the protein bar that don't quit, the protein bar that is substantial, baby. We love those things. Plus, it
love
tastes amazing.
G2G Bars.
We're here at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, right here in Salt Lake City. We have some jazz gear to give away, so if you want to come down, grab yourself a shirt that they're trying to get rid of from the team store, because guess what? You got some nice Nike gear, those nice soft Nike shirts that are over there.
So
I might have to walk out with one myself.
If you go on all the streaming services, you know, Netflix, yeah, all those.
Yep.
Guess what everyone has on Netflix right now? Grease.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
you know,
because
of the passing
of
and so
Anne Heche died today.
I know.
So you know what they need to do? Best Anne Heche movie was Six Days, Seven Nights.
Yeah.
Love Harrison Ford.
That's
and,
a great. It really is a great,
it's a great
movie.
Great movie.
Yeah. Great. Great. Tension between the two.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
You knew it was coming.
But I started to watch Grease. And I couldn't finish it. It's too emotional.
No.
It was. I was like. I was
you
like,
got bored. That's why you couldn't finish
no.
it.
No. Well, some of the songs are getting kind of old to me.
Everybody has crushes on
and it. And I'm just like, she's gone now.
Nah, it's crazy.
It was emotional.
All right.
I couldn't get through it.
Let me see here.
I'll try 6 days, 7 nights, see how that goes.
Yeah, you should. I bet it's. I actually watched it maybe less than like 6 months ago. Just happened upon it, and I went, oh, yeah, I love this movie. Here's what we got here, Scott. We've got our what are the odds. It goes like this. I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. And then you top it off with the jersey number that's associated with the number that you pick. Does that make sense? You can play at home. Yell it out at your radio. I don't care. Disagree with us on Twitter about it. I don't care. Do it. Let's go. I'm all for it. I want all those things. So let's start off right off the bat, Scott. Do you want to give me one to start?
I'll start you off. Yeah.
Tell me what you got.
Okay, this is a Utah Jazz one.
Okay.
What are the odds Donovan Mitchell plays in 10 regular season games for the Jazz?
I think right now the no movement is it's a good sign for the Jazz because they really are. Look, there's no bluffing here. Danny Ainge will absolutely stretch this thing out, and I'm going to say it's a. I think it's better than 50%. I'm going to go with a. Formerly Mie One, 81% chance that
Whoa.
Donovan Mitchell is going to be in 10 plus games.
That's
for the Jazz this year.
Wow.
And you know what that means? That over under starts to look a little bit different, right? If Donovan Mitchell's playing the 32.5 that Vegas gives him at the.
It ain't going to matter.
You think they'll still tank?
Hey, he doesn't play defense. Come on. It's not going to matter.
Here's the thing, they win 32.5 games. He scores 32.5 points a game. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's get this thing going. So that's
no, you don't want 80. Him to. You don't want him to win 32.5 games.
Sorry, 32.5 points
and
a game.
Half games.
And then you win 12.5 games. There you go. All right.
Got to be in the top three.
The thing is like, why are we? I've suddenly gotten on board with the tanking. I've never been like this. I hate when teams do it. I don't like the tank. But I've been sold a bill of goods
so
by you and all the other people who are like, Danny Ainge is building. He's building a. He's building the mansions of a championship.
So here's how
Jazz heaven, and we're going to make this thing happen.
Here's how you're not tanking. Okay, you have young talent. You just put them out there, and you just let them play. You let them get experience. You develop them as they mm-hmm. go along, knowing that you've got inexperienced, garbage players, and you're not going to win.
Don't say garbage players. They're people.
They're garbage players.
Right, well, according to Deion Sanders, they're all getting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
all these guys. Are
and
getting
so,
in the Hall of
so
Fame
you're these guys are. Hey, they're trying hard every night, and it gives you an opportunity.
Trying hard every night.
Yes,
it's the worst.
I know, but that's what you want to be is the worst.
My kid's second
that's
and third,
the idea.
My
Alex.
Kid's second and third grade football team is trying real hard every night too. And their over under on wins
is
definitely
a draft?
Less than.
I mean, you're building for next year.
You can't. were building for the third grade junior might team to do really well next year. But this year,
it's a strategy.
Look, I'm just trying to land some picks from Layton City. That's that's what I'm going to try to do.
So I think it's somewhere in the middle of the road. I'll go Mark Eaton, may he rest in peace, 53%.
There you go. Okay. Let me see here, Scott. What are the odds that on Monday that AP poll has both Utah and BYU? Now, obviously Utah is going to be in there. I'm gonna up it here. The Utah is a top six pick, and that BYU is a 20 or above. Because I think Utah is going to be 5 or 6. That's where I'm putting them. And I think BYU is going to be like a 19 or 20. So I'm going to say it's a – oh, we were talking about guys who are in the Hall of Fame and you and maybe the best of their position ever. You were saying Lawrence Taylor. What about Michael Strahan, 92%? Boom.
And you think it's that high?
I think it's that high.
Wow. All right. Well, I'll agree with you. I'll go with another Hall of Famer. And a lot of people will argue that he was the best defensive lineman in NFL history. And I don't agree with that. And I played against, actually, both those guys. but I will say a Reggie White, 92%.
Okay. Scott, I'm trying to think of, like, the level of debauchery that would be happening at Gronk, at Robert Gronkowski's.
He's now Robert.
Well, he's an adult because
he's
now.
Retired.
He's retired.
Well, I wouldn't call him an adult. But
Robert
okay.
Gronkowski the second. Sorry, Rob Gronkowski, but I mean, in my mind, I don't know why I said Robert either.
For a minute, I was like, who are you talking about?
It's
like,
dad.
This is Gronk,
no,
right? You're talking about
so
Gronk?
So Gronk is okay. Having a retirement party.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, you can't get a ticket to it, but they're having his retirement party at a casino to the tune of $75 a person.
Oh.
Okay? What are the odds that if you could get a ticket to that you would be at that situation?
Okay, so you can't get a ticket to it, or if you
it's sold out.
Oh, it's sold out.
It's sold out. I don't know if you can get secondary market tickets, but.
But are the 75, so anyone could have got this?
Is there a performance? That's what I'm wondering. I mean, I would assume there's some sort of, Gronk has a party. Gronk has parties.
Sure.
This is what he's famous for. So what would the odds be that you would go to Rob Gronkowski's retirement party if somebody goes, hey, man, Scott, I've got an extra ticket to this thing. Do you want to come with me to Rob Gronkowski's retirement party at the Cosmo in Vegas?
I'm going to say a Tom Brady 12%.
Okay.
I would go. There's
yeah.
Just to view the spectacle, you know, but I have no desire to participate in whatever the festivities might. I really don't. It's just not my thing.
Get your single dollar bills out, everybody. This would be a weird party to be at.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. When he unretires, it's going to be really weird. when he unretires. And
well, it's his second retirement.
I know.
Party. Yeah. They just make it an annual thing. People are fine with that these days.
I think it's fine. Okay, let's take the break here. We'll come back. When we return, we are at the warehouse, of course, and we have got so many things going on here. The Chase of the FedEx Cup starts this week at St. Jude's Classic on the Golf Channel, brought to you by Uinta Golf, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Check it out.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We are here at the warehouse, 1825 South 300 West. Some of the Jazz gears walked out. I'm okay with that. We still have more. Lee put a few more things out, and so there we go. We've got Jazz gear here for you to be able to pick up some Nike shirts, too, some nice stuff. So come down and hang out. Get a deal on some mattresses or any other furniture you might be looking for. And well, we were talking about it, too. Tom said it. He goes, look, this is one of those things that maybe you're thinking, I don't want to go out and it's hot. There's some construction there. They're going to make it worth your while. You come down, 1825 South 300 West. Unrivaled is always brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. You've seen them in stores. Give them a shot. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. It is refrigerated, no preservatives. Let's get this thing going, the G2G Bar. Scott, we've got our annual. Now, we do a lot of bold and stupid predictions on the show, just in general.
Correct.
Bold and Stupid was the original show name that we were going to
yes.
we were going to do.
Yes.
We couldn't decide who was going to be bold and who was going to be stupid.
I think it's kind of back and forth. I mean, you have to be bold and stupid.
Right.
Right? Or it's if you're doing a very bold, stupid thing.
Right.
Like making a very bold but stupid prediction.
But look, the payoff is really good when you get a couple of things right.
Right.
So we're going to do this. We'll roll it out. The cut is right here at the top of the hour. We're going to get into our predictions for college football season. You can always weigh in and give us your thoughts on it as well. So here we go. It's the cut right here at the top of the hour. Let's get into it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of the cut. Okay.
Can I go first?
Do you have really bold and stupid ones? I don't want this going halfway stuff.
No. And I have scientific research behind every bold and stupid thing I'm about to say.
Scientific research.
Yes.
Well, then how could it be bold or stupid? If it's scientific, then
When you hear what I have to say, you're going to go,
okay.
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
Okay.
All right, my number one bold and stupid pick
this
year, Alabama and Georgia will not make the college football playoffs.
What's the first one on my list say?
Alabama does not make the college football playoffs.
You went further by saying Georgia.
Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Here is the scientific research. Nick Saban's lost it. Nick Saban has cracked. Nick Saban has now become paranoid. Nick Saban is actually worried about
Jumbo Fisher package.
Jumbo Fisher. and it's gotten under his skin. Like, Nick Saban never had to talk about how, you know, Alabama was Alabama.
You and I didn't talk about this, did you?
They were just Alabama. No, we did not.
We didn't talk about
this. We did not talk about this, okay? He wrote a book. Anytime someone writes a book, and here's the other part, and he cries, okay? So he's worried about Jimbo Fisher. He's crying, and he's talking about as if Alabama has to rebuild.
But he's also kind of doing the whole, if you write a book and it's called The Leadership and it, what was it? It's like it's some pretentious, like, he's, look at me kind of a book.
He's got one foot out the door. He's ready to go sell books. He's ready to go down the road. He's not going to put the same time and energy, and it feels like it's one of those years. Bryce Young has nowhere to go but down. Like, he's the Heisman Trophy winner from a year ago.
Yeah.
You can't go up from that. You can't.
I had Alabama not making the college football playoff.
Now, here's why.
I love that you stepped it up with Georgia.
Here's why Georgia.
Just because there's no other – Benson Stennett. I think you got it. What procedure did you have? I had the Benson Stennett.
Well,
I get what you're saying. The guy who showed up drunk after he won the national championship.
He's still drunk. Okay? He's still drunk. He will have a hangover until about week 7.
Nice.
There's just no.
You remember when that college football playoff? They're like, dude, this is 2-a-days, man. Wake up.
So they're like, they are. There's just no way. Everyone's going to gun for Georgia. I don't know. They're not going to be there.
Kirby Smart just got $11 million and that could push him in the – I think
even better.
You think that makes it to where he's going to get
Yeah, these guys, these coaches, they get cushy when they get – whenever a coach gets over $10 million a year, he gets cushy.
Okay.
Now, here's my other prediction in – so if they aren't making it,
okay,
then who is?
So
I have that prediction as well.
I also do.
Okay, here's my four teams.
Oh, you've already got the teams.
I have the four teams that are actually going to make the college football playoffs.
Okay.
Now, just so you know.
Let's see if they match up with you and
I. Okay, this actually ties in to the Utah schools, both BYU and Utah. Okay? And I'm not that stupid. Okay, but I'm stupid. Number one team to make the college football playoffs.
Easy one. Ohio State.
Ohio State University. Number two.
Got it.
The University of Utah. Number three, if Alabama ain't making it and if Georgia ain't making it, LSU is making it.
Oh, that's where we part ways, my friend. Who do I have at the top
of that? You have Texas A&M.
Nope. Who do I have at the top of that one?
I can't see.
Ole Miss.
Oh, boy. Now, that's stupid. That is stupid.
I put Ole Miss because it – and look, it works perfect. Hey, if Georgia and Alabama are getting in – Jackson Dart takes Lane Kiffin to the promised land.
Now, what would be really nice is if the Pirate got in Mississippi State.
Oh, my goodness.
And then my fourth team
yes.
is Baylor.
Oh, interesting. The Big 12 champion. So they'll have to be 11-1 or 12-0, right?
Yes. And
they're not – Oh, okay. Tom already made his Golden Super prediction.
Now, Tom,
he got involved.
Now, Tom talked about BYU.
Yes.
BYU is 11-1 this year. That's my next bold.
That is a bold one. Oh, my heavens. If they go 11-1, I don't believe Michael Felder, when he came on, I know we've been playing the promo, and we're giving him way too much run because it's dead wrong. I think at BYU, even if – I don't care who they beat to get to 11-1. If you're 11-1, you're not going to the college football playoff.
These other teams are just too good. Right?
Yes.
That's not going to happen. But what is going to happen, their one loss is going to be to Baylor, okay? And they can't get in if Baylor's in, right? So it's not going to happen. But they do get to go to a New Year's Day 6 bowl game. They play in the Cotton Bowl.
Interesting.
That's how that
like
all
it.
Weaves in and is
So
tied
I put my
together.
College football playoff. This is the bold and stupid one. We'll probably have to get a little bit more
Come
rational
to-
by the
no!
time November 1st comes
rational.
Around.
I don't
obviously.
Want to be rational.
But that's not fun. Rational's not fun. No. We don't have a segment called Completely Rational and Down to Earth.
No.
We don't want to have that.
No.
Ole Miss, Utah, Ohio State, Texas A&M. Okay, so I got your two SEC teams in. If Georgia and Alabama go down, give me Texas A&M, give me Ole Miss, and that would be – look, why not? I love it. And then Utah and Ohio State. Those are your other two. I'm going to roll out another a BYU-related bold and stupid.
All right.
Okay. Chris Brooks breaks Tyler Algier's single-season rushing record, even just the year after Algier did it. 1,600-plus yards rushing from Chris Brooks. The offensive line is already set up the exact same way. They are very similar style runners. Chris Brooks might even have a little bit more strength in him. I don't know, it might be speaking some sacrilege there for some BYU fans because Tyler Algier is held in such high standard. But I'm telling you, if Chris Brooks stays healthy and if BYU stays in that manner of let's keep a singular back who starts to have some success at the beginning of the year, let's say he goes out game one against South Florida, runs for 147 yards on 23 carries, then they go, well, we're going to ride this thing for as long as we can, right? And then we're going to see a guy who's going to be super productive. Super productive.
All
Chris
right.
Brooks breaks Tyler Algier's single-season rushing record. Algier won't even have it for a full year and a half. He'll have to give it up after just one season.
See, I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen because I think they're going to really open this up with Jaren Hall.
No.
And I think part of why they didn't do it a year ago is because I'm not sure he was that healthy. And I think that's probably why they relied on that running game more than maybe they wanted to. Too loaded at the wide receiver tight end position. Jaren Hall is healthy, looks good so far. But here's my bold and stupid prediction for Jaren Hall.
Ooh.
Jaren Hall makes it through the entire season healthy.
Unscathed.
And actually plays
you know what's wild? Is
the
that,
whole entire year.
That might be the nuttiest thing that either of us say all day, too.
Right.
Jaren Hall stays healthy all year long.
But don't,
yeah, it's like, no way. Okay. I like it. I think there are a lot of people who – now, here's the thing, too. That – by itself takes a ton of factors to be able to have happen. His game has to kind of change a little bit, has to shift a little bit to a guy who's going to protect himself. And that might actually work out for him to be, well, one, for my Chris Brooks prediction to happen, and also for him to be able to put the ball up a lot more.
See, I think in the past, Jaren Hall's been this guy that plays it really safe, right? Take care of the football, don't make mistakes, don't turn the ball over kind of thing. And I think it's caused him to kind of play that, you know, don't get hurt. And I think, and then what do you go do? You get hurt. You mean, you just got to play to win every play, every down. And you get a sense that Jaren Hall's a lot more comfortable in the position that he's in as the starter and as who he is at BYU and playing in games. I just see a healthy Jaren Hall all season long. And that hasn't happened yet for him at BYU.
Can I just sneak in a former BYU bold and stupid? Former BYU quarterback bold and stupid?
Can you do that?
Yeah, it's college football. But I had this one come up, and I actually wrote it down today because it came to mind. Because I watched the rest of One Jet Drive. Zach Wilson makes his first Pro Bowl.
Ooh.
What? Don't give me the grumpy ooh. Mm. Oh, don't give me the grumpy ooh.
No.
This only works Scott, bold and stupid means you also have to respect the other person's stupid.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead with your bold. You're right. That's bold and stupid.
See, by the end of the year.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. I stand corrected in this. I respect your decision. I respect your stupidness.
All right, while you're there.
I respect
while you're in this space, let me take advantage of it, okay? Because I have a New Year's 6 team.
I have to agree with you?
I have a New Year's 6 team that people may or may not be excited about.
Oh.
About hearing this. New Year's 6 team, a New Year's 6 bowl. Steve Sarkisian takes the Texas Longhorns to a New Year's 6 bowl. Boom.
Bold. You're the guy. You are the one who had the one vote. You're the
guy that voted
him number one. That's who, that mystery guy. We were trying to figure out who it was.
No, not number one. Not number one. But they're going to make it. They're going to get to
they're
going to lose to Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. And then we've got ourselves, what? A relegation into a we're relegated into something more exciting than that, which is Texas getting to – and Texas finally living up to what the voter standards are, and you're going to see a Texas Longhorn team in a New Year's 6 bowl.
Okay.
Bold and stupid, baby.
All right, never say never.
I have a bold and stupid that contradicts everything I've said.
Okay.
But I just made it up. Okay. And
I think this
would be the disaster of all disasters if you're the Big 12 and you're the Pac-12.
Anything goes.
You ready for this one?
Let's hear it.
All right. The bold and stupid thing that happens this year, Texas and Oklahoma play for the Big 12 championship.
Oh, my.
And UCLA and USC play for the Pac-12 championship. And both of those schools get into the college football. The winner goes to the college football playoffs.
Could you imagine?
That's the death of half of America in college football right there.
Could you imagine Ute fans having to deal with UCLA and USC playing for a Pac-12 championship this year? Oh, my gosh. But, hey, Texas and Oklahoma, that just feels like home for a lot of people. We're back. That's what you want. If you're a TV provider anywhere, streaming, regular linear television, that is your dream, that the Longhorns and the Sooners would play against each other in the Big 12 championship. Although, can they? Do they still have division? Oh, or division's not a thing?
I don't think they are anymore. No.
I can never remember which place goes with it.
Pac-12, it's gone away.
Scott, I got another one for the University of Utah.
I can't believe I said that. I spoke that because
now
the more I'm thinking about it, it's going to happen.
Don't think about it. Okay.
Don't think color purple.
I've got something for you. This one is a Utah-related one.
All right.
And it's a goal that we were talking about for Jaren Hall. I'm not writing it down for Jaren Hall. I'm writing it down for Cam Rising. Cam Rising is a Heisman finalist and gets invited to New York. Gets the invite to New York. Now, what does that mean? All wrapped up in that one prediction is stays healthy all year long. The Utes have a
big year
for it. Special season.
Oh.
No one likes to hear special season, right? Because that makes it sound like it's what a special year that was. Or anybody, if people go in and they say it's a special year, it sounds like something your mom would call it. You're such a special boy.
The Rose Bowl was a special game. That was a special game.
I love how it's 1 year on and people are already like, but we've moved on. We've grown up. The Rose Bowl would be nice. That's fine. But we're setting our sights on the college football playoff.
Yeah, been there, done that. Let's go to something else.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I wanted to throw in one for Utah State.
Okay.
Okay. And Utah State actually, well, I here's my bold and stupid.
I had one for the Aggies.
Bold and stupid is at the end of the year, Utah, BYU, and Utah State end up top 20 teams.
Okay.
In the final rankings.
Not far off of where they were last year.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yes.
Now, does that mean they, because mine was that they repeat as Mountain West champions.
Yeah.
Now, that would be even harder this year.
That was my assumption that
back.
They actually.
Yeah. Boise State's a little bit more back. It's going to be a tough year to do it. But Aggies go and repeat with Blake Anderson. Blake Anderson, I mean, the guy comes here to Utah. Tragedy hits the family. They turn the entire program around after absolute ridiculousness that has gone on with the year before, right? And just like the meltdown and you know, the whole thing. And then, of course, they win the Mountain West Championship. So I'm going to say that they repeat. And it's so much harder to repeat, which makes it, of course, a bold and stupid prediction.
Yes,
so there
it
you
does.
Go.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Boy, this is a pretty fun deal right here. We're here at the warehouse, 1825 South 300 West. Thanks for being a part of the program. So we just had Charlie walk in. Charlie just brought some cool gear in. Sorry, I turned you down while you guys were remembering the good times. Charlie came in. How old's Charlie? Charlie, how old are you? 12 years old. So Charlie came in with his dad, and they had some, like, hey, Scott, big fans. Will you sign a couple of things for it? I was, like, I've seen the cards. I've seen, like, I feel like every Scott Mitchell card. People come in and ask Scott to sign stuff all the time. A sweet Honolulu Blue Detroit Lions jersey. Great. A couple of programs, things like great. But the best thing in the whole mix that Charlie brought in and his dad brought in, two ticket stubs from the November 19th, 1998 matchup. 1988 matchup between the University of Utah and BYU that ended up in a 57-28 win for the Utes. To break a 9-game win streak.
10 is not going to happen.
He gives it the old Greg Rubel call on it. So, there was a question that Charlie's dad asked. Do you still have the lucky penny? Is it somewhere around? You lost it. Yeah, just like the other half of the $1 million top.
They're somewhere
of the
together.
They're somewhere together.
It is one of those things though that I wish I knew where it was. I really.
Oh
do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was.
They're not the
cool
first
thing.
Ones to ask. So yeah. I think that it's. Yeah. Look, I'd be embarrassed if I were you. You spent it. Yeah.
Look, I was a poor college student. Every penny counted. It's like, all right, we won the game. Now I'm going to go to the dollar movie.
Probably more accurate. Maybe your ex-wife spent it, you know?
that and a lot of other things, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, we're getting loose on a Friday.
We are.
Thanks for being with us. Yeah. 1825 South, 300 West right here in Salt Lake City. Joining us on the program right now, he covers BYU. He's a BYU insider for KSLSports.com. Host of Cougar Sports Saturday right there on KSL News Radio, noon to 3 every Saturday. Matt Biamonte on the program here with us. Matt, last week we were at the Bees game doing the show without Scott here. Here we are asking you about what BYU's first fall scrimmage might be looking like tomorrow. What are we anticipating out of what we could see down at BYU? What do you think the coaches are going to be looking for scrimmage number one in the fall?
Yeah, Kalani Sasaki was asked this at the team photo shoot the other day, and it's not going to be very eventful. This is not going to be a signature moment determining a key position battle. I did find it interesting that Kalani Sasaki referenced the offensive line. There's more talented players than there are positions, and they need to figure out what's the best five. Harris LeChance, who played right tackle last year, has been working at right guard. You got Joe Tukulafu back, who's also played guard. Campbell Barrington's played some guard. So they've got 7 or 8 offensive linemen. They're trying to whittle that down to 5 to figure out what the best cohesive unit is. So that might be one of the more interesting things, because you really need full pads, I think, to determine the physicality and which group meshes as good as they can. So that might be the biggest one, and there's some depth as well, but there's going to be a lot of guys that don't play. Jaron Hall is not going to go. Some tight ends aren't going to play, some receivers, some defensive players, linebackers like Peyton Wilgar, Keenan Peely. So it's going to be pretty uneventful. There might be a guy like a Morgan Piper, if he has some great scrimmages, who can move into the 2-deep, but I don't expect anything groundbreaking to come from these scrimmages.
So this week the coaches poll came out, and BYU received quite a few votes. It looks like they probably would have been somewhere around 28, didn't crack the 25 in the coaches poll. AP poll comes out, I believe, Monday or Tuesday. Do you see BYU being in the top 25 when the AP poll comes out?
No, but they friggin' should be. These polls are a joke. It makes no sense what the metric is. If you're looking for returning production, BYU is at the top of the list. If you're looking for teams that had great years, well, BYU's had two top 10, two 10-win seasons back-to-back. It just doesn't make any sense how they're not in the top 25. I'm not demanding they be top 10, top 15, but this is clearly a top 25 football team, and for them to not be in the top 25 in the coaches' poll is a joke. Some of the teams in front of them, it's ridiculous that they are in the coaches' poll in front of BYU. Wake Forest just announced that their starting quarterback's not going to go for a while. It doesn't make sense that they're in there. I don't see how Miami 17, how is Cincinnati with all that they lost, 22. Ole Miss, I mean, they turned over most of their team, for heaven's sake. They're 24.
Yeah, they got Jackson Dart, though. Hey, Matt, they got Jackson Dart.
So what? He was okay last year. You beat that guy. I mean, he's talented, but, I mean, it just goes to show that these polls, you don't know, there's no rhyme or reason to them. They're just people throwing darts at a dartboard, and that's why I hate preseason polls, because it's almost as bad as the College Football Playoff Committee, because it's a moving target, and you can never find out where it is. It's dumb. So I hate it, and I don't think BYU will be in the AP poll, but they should be. I mean, Scott, come on. They're a top 25 team, don't you think?
So if you think they should be in the top 25, where in the top 25 should they be?
I'd have them in the high teens, 17, 18, 19, right in there with Miami, Texas, Pitt, and Wake Forest.
See, Matt, I don't think you should be as grumpy as you sound right now. You're fired up, but I think they're going to be in. The AP poll has typically been a little bit more favorable than a coach's poll. And, frankly, I think the AP poll, not that I'm dogging on the coaches. Obviously, the coaches know more about the game than some writers do, but – They don't dip into these teams no. nearly as much as these writers do. And so I think that if you're a BYU fan, you'll be pleasantly surprised to see BYU probably. I'm going to put them more at like a 21-22 type of a number there. But I think they're going to be in. I think there'll be a jump even for Utah, too. I think Utah will be either 5 or 6 in that AP poll when they come out. Because, like I said, the coaches – don't care. Half of the coaches in FBS are voting on this thing, and they are just barely like, hey, coach, can you give me your 130 teams that you're going to rate? Can you give me your top 25? It's like they don't want to do this at all. So I think that you get less interested.
Like, for sure, they don't have time to do this. Let's not have it because it's dumb.
Come on, there's an intern. There's a couple interns out there earning their stripes on the votes there, Matt.
I think the reasoning behind it is, okay, so you're going to let a bunch of people that watch the game, maybe a lot of them have never played the game, are not into the game, don't play any of these teams, aren't any of these teams, and you know that's the media, right? And so it's kind of a balance between the two. It's like here's people in the know, in the trenches every day, who really understand football. Supposedly, I'm not saying they all do or not, and I agree with Alex but most of these coaches are like, you know, I how seriously do I take this? You know, a lot of them probably don't take it very serious and probably don't know. I mean, probably don't know outside of maybe your conference and maybe a few other teams. And so I think these polls are kind of a gauge, you know, I think if you take the sum of all of them together and kind of get a better barometer of maybe where teams are, but at least it gives more people a voice. Because unfortunately, that's how college football is determined. It's a subjective thing that really has no bearing on, you know, necessarily who is the best team on the field.
Well, it's a broken gauge because if you look at Houston, Houston has Clayton Tune, their returning quarterback, is very good. I'd say he's a B+, A- level team. Houston's probably going to win their conference, and you throw them at 25. And they've had some good years the past couple years. They're 25, and now there's this perception that they're not a great team, and they've got to work even harder than they need to from this dumb poll that comes out where they're not getting their due respect because you don't have any idea what the metric is. So it's great for some teams, but it's really detrimental to others when it comes to this perception before the season even begins. That's why I just want to get rid of all of them. We just have the first poll come out after the first week and then have it, at least some football being played where you can say, wow, Utah beat Florida by 25 or whatever it is. That's a top 5 football team. Or they lose and they're not a top 10 football team. BYU were to lose by USF, yeah, they're definitely not a top 25 football team. So I hate the polls. I can't stand that they exist for preseason, and this is just another iteration of where the polls make no sense, and you're left wondering what's going on here. So,
well, you know, one thing about the polls, the preseason polls every year, they're always wrong.
Absolutely.
They're just always wrong. I mean, to your point, all these things, it changes, and as the season goes on, and it's certainly a starting point, but it is harder for a team that's not in the poll to have to climb up, and they're at a disadvantage because you climb up, and if you lose, you drop quickly, you know, where if you're a team that's high early on, it's harder to just – free fall out of the rankings. So
let me I threw out some bold and stupid BYU type predictions. I have two of them that are related to BYU. One was I think Scott's prediction was his bold and stupid prediction. These are wild predictions for us for teams around here, college football overall, all of that. And his was that Jaren Hall is going to be healthy for all 12 regular season games, which might sound like a pretty low bar, but I think for him. It's one of those. So where do you put the odds of Jaren Hall staying healthy all season for BYU?
I'd give it 80% chance. I mean, you can never go close to 100 because it's football. Anything can happen. But there's so many weapons, and there's such a good offensive line. And Aaron Roderick's already said, too, to the media that there's going to be little to no designed quarterback runs because Jaren Hall can make something happen on a pathway that breaks down. There's no need to script it into the game plan. So I think all those things really bode well for him because he doesn't have to do too much. He can just, I don't want to say game manage because that has a negative connotation, but he doesn't need to carry the team. There's a lot of talented guys. So I put it at 80%, and I like that prediction. I think there's a really good chance of that happening.
Is that 80%? Is that a Chris Carter 80%? Or is that a Steve Largent 80%? Or is it Ooh. Or a Brett Perriman 80%? Which
it's more of a Jerry Rice 80%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was okay.
I forgot about Jerry Rice. He was a pretty good player.
Okay, and then the other one was that I think on the BYU side of things, I said Chris Brooks was going to already beat Tyler Algier's single season rushing record. Now that might be a little bit leaning more on the stupid side, but why not? Similar backs, the same offensive line, same offensive coordinator calling these plays, and if they could lean on a guy, if he has a couple big games at the front end of the season, why not lean on him and why not go for something like that?
That's too bold for me. What Tyler Algier did last year was outstanding. And I think Chris Brooks is going to be a 1,000-yard runner, which is that is a great feat, especially for a new running back incoming in and trying to gel with this group. But I think that Jackson McChesney and Lapina Katoa will still have a role. It's not going to be a situation where Tyler Algier is getting 95% of the carries and no one else is getting any touches. I think if I had to put numbers on it, I'd say Chris Brooks carries it 70 to 75% of the time, and then the other 25% is split evenly between McChesney and Lapina. So for that reason alone, I say he doesn't get close to Algier's record. But Chris Brooks is very talented. I was kind of surprised at how fast he was on that first day of media observation at fall camp.
There you go, then.
To where I think he might have a little more speed than Algier. I think he's going to surprise people in that sense. There was a run he had in that first camp where he busted it off tackle and just ripped it down the sideline. No one stopped him because it wasn't pads and they weren't tackling. But I was like, hey, this dude has maybe another level of speed over Algier, so he's going to be good. He'll be a 1,000-yard back, but that's quite bold to say in one year Algier's individual record is gone.
At the very least, then I'm going to count it as being a very, very bold prediction. You can't say that I didn't go low rent on the on the bold prediction. So there's that. All right, Matt Biamonte, Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio every week. He covers the Cougars on KSLSports.com as well. Matt, we'll chat with you next week, buddy. We'll talk to you then.
Anytime. See you guys. Have a good weekend.
There you go.
Bye-bye, Matt.
Matt Biamonte, everybody. Let's take a break. We've got more to go here on the program. We are at the Warehouse, 1825 South 300 West. Jazz gear abounding here. Some stuff walking out the door, but we still have some things available. So Let's get you down here, get those deals going, and we're going to have an awesome time. We'll take the break here. We will come back. More to go, and Rival continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past for anybody that's ever coached with him.
The Utah Utes headed to the Rose Bowl for the first time in program history. Emphatic champions of the Pac-12 as they hammer the Ducks again.
For BYU and all of its fans, it was Big 12 weekend. And after a 12-year wait, it's a big win for the Cougs over their in-state rivals. 10 is not coming.
The final countdown.
All right. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Hey, you know what? Take a seat. I like this kid.
Yeah.
This is like – this is like
some
these,
headsets. Let's go.
I think all these kids at some point – these are all – all these kids are in my kids' age range. I've got kids – and all, how old are you, buddy? Yeah, I got a five-year-old.
Five.
And then he's 12. I got a 12-year-old. How old is this guy?
Seven.
I got a 7-year-old.
Nine.
Ten. I got a 10-year-old girl, too. I've got them all. I just have two other ones on the other side, too. So we're way over the top. What's his name? Freddie's the best.
Freddie,
man.
Nice.
Freddie's gonna be. Yeah. Freddie's. Look, I was. Look, I was.
People are mocking us in here.
It's fine.
Like, you have white legs, Alex.
What am I supposed to do? You want the? You want me to spray tan before I come in next time?
When we're out in public, please.
Please dial it up a little bit more.
You're embarrassing.
Come down and get some jazz gear. Certainly, these guys are doing it. So taking advantage of.
It's hopping here at the warehouse.
Tons of people coming in. Here's the deal. We got a lot to get through here still. All right. Coming up next hour. Now, Scott did an interview this last week with I think that what's interesting about this, our guest next hour, is that we're going to talk a little bit about a freezing cold take that was made about you during your career.
I remember when it happened.
And if you're familiar with freezing cold takes, these are the ones that people threw out there. These are the guys who throw out there these crazy – they're bold and stupid.
Exactly.
And after a while, the freezing cold take means that it turned into a very stupid situation.
Yes.
So it was bold at the beginning, became a stupid prediction at some point because it didn't age well, right? So we'll have an author coming on with us next and giving us a little bit of a breakdown of one that included Scott and some of the best freezing cold takes in sports of all time. That's coming up in just a little bit. In the meantime, Scott, let's jump out here. I've got a couple things to get through. We have some tickets to give away. If you are tuned in and you want to see Joe Rogan, we got a pair of tickets for you right now to see Joe Rogan live here in Salt Lake City. This is going to be a hot ticket in town, too, because, of course, Joe Rogan, he's a draw, Scott. People love or hate, even if they don't like Joe Rogan. They want to be a part of this thing, so that's what we're going to do. We've got some tickets to give away to Joe Rogan. A pair of tickets right now, 801-575-5967, 801-575-5967 for a pair of tickets to see Joe Rogan live here in Salt Lake City. The actual date, I'll give it to you right now. It's he's August 19th at the Maverick Center, part of the Sacred Clown Tour. You can also go visit livenation.com for all of your concert and event needs. 801-575-5967, a pair of tickets to see Joe Rogan live in Salt Lake City on the Sacred Clown Tour on August 19th. So let's do it. Let's get this thing going. Let's jump in and make it happen. 801-575-5967, caller number 12 right now. In the meantime, Scott, it's our college football countdown. Of course, you heard the music. You heard Greg say, 10 is not coming. 15 days to Utah State and UConn. Can you believe it?
Crazy.
We're going to get to Monday, and we're going to be at what, 12 days? I mean, we're looking at the 12 days of football Christmas here coming up. So I'm excited about it.
What about our Advent calendar? Where are we there?
Oh.
I think we had brisket and ribs.
I think what we came up with is on our Advent calendar, we have to make it jerky probably. Otherwise, you got to keep it refrigerated all the time. Or you cook it that day. So I'm not opposed to it. I just want a college football Advent calendar that features mostly just meat. So that's the idea. I don't know. People can kind of walk that idea down the road a little bit further for us. We'd love that. 22 days to Utah and Florida and BYU and South Florida down there in the Sunshine State. So there you go. Those are your updates there. What's the most important game on Utah's schedule. What's the most important game on BYU's schedule or on Utah State's schedule? I think it changes based on the fact that, I mean, wherever these teams are in the season. Because the USC game becomes more important if USC's winning football games. If they start out the year and they're 4-2 coming into Salt Lake, it's not going to mean as much. The Oregon game suddenly becomes that game that's more important, or whatever. For BYU, BYU and Utah might share one of their more important games of the season this year on the schedule. Nobody from BYU is talking nearly as much about that Oregon game up at Autzen than they probably should be. Oregon at Autzen, I think, is a more valuable game than Notre Dame at in Las Vegas. And I know I'm probably counted as one of the more crazy people. And a lot of people will say Baylor, or they'll say even Arkansas. But you are on the road. You will make a much bigger impression if you're a BYU team going up to Oregon and beating Oregon there at their house.
See, I think that if you want to start with BYU, if we can start there. But I agree that the Baylor game is actually the most important game for BYU. It's their future. It's where they're headed. And if you remember a year ago, BYU went to Baylor, and Baylor put it on them. And all the talk was, hey, welcome to the Big 12 BYU. This is what you're up against. This is what you're going to face. And I think it's really important that in sports, so often we have to answer back. When we have a challenge, when we have a defeat, it's so important to answer back. BYU is headed to the Big 12. That's where their bread is going to be buttered. And Baylor is going to be the team in the Big 12 that's going to be the top dog, you know, after Texas, Oklahoma leaves. So, to me, I think it's that Baylor game.
Biggest game in the regular season for the Utes.
I think the Utes have set their sights on going to the college football playoffs. And I think if you're going to do it, you got to do it. You got to set the tone early. And I really believe, and I believe this for some time, that first game at Florida is the game. It's the game of the year for Utah. It will set the tone for everything that happens. You lose that first game, then it's like college football playoffs are out the door, and it just sets a negative tone. So you've got to set it right, and it's got to be that game. They're going to have big games, but there's none bigger than that first one. And if you're Utah State, look, the big dog in town is Boise State. And they play Boise State at Boise State. That's just the game. You're in the Mountain West. Everything goes through Boise State. Anytime you play Boise State, you got to beat them.
There you go. Those aren't even bold and stupid predictions. Those are just
run-of-the-mill
ones.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Brought to you by G2G Bars, the protein bar with no preservatives, the protein bar you refrigerate. It is so dang good. Packed with protein. If you haven't tried one yet, get one in your local grocer's refrigerated section. Try that thing out. Anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost, get it from G2G Bars. We are at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, right here in downtown Salt Lake. And you can get yourself some amazing deals right here, courtesy of Tom Curl and his team. So come down. We've got some jazz gear, a handful more of some of these jazz shirts to give you. If you come down, let's figure it out. Let's get you taken care of. This is a first for us on the program. Brand new guest on the show here with us. He's an author. You can also probably read his at Old Takes Exposed on Twitter account. I think these are the freezing cold takes that I think a lot of people have seen over the years. And I just love when we expose these things, right? Because we've all made dumb and bold and stupid predictions. Sometimes it just comes across as bold and genius, but if it doesn't work out, it is looked at as that freezing cold take. Fred Segal joining us right here on the program. Fred, thanks for being with us on the show. Your book is Freezing Cold Takes, NFL Football Media's Most Inaccurate Predictions and Fascinating Stories Behind Them. And Scott Mitchell happens to be one of them. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about this being a frozen take. But what was your genesis for coming up with this idea for a book, and how did all this start for you?
Well, I started the feed. It really started with the Twitter feed in 2015, which I didn't expect to be something that was very big, but I started it kind of as a counter to the sports media people on Twitter, like reposting their accurate predictions and then giving themselves a self-congratulatory message. And I said to myself, someone should be the person who reposts these tweets and quotes, where some of the same media folks
don't work out.
Turned
yeah.
out to be dead wrong. Yeah.
yeah.
So I just became that person. And then I didn't expect the feed to become big, but it did. And eventually allowed me to write this book about historic NFL predictions gone wrong, which I wanted to do. I wanted to explore them in longer form, not just post a 280 character tweet or a screenshot of something. Wanted to explore the actual take and some of the stuff that happened in NFL history and why someone would have said what they said and certain things that happened or articles that were written that were lambasted by, you know, others or the fans or just go down in history as something that's like infamous. You explore it and you take it and dissect it in history and understand why it happened or whether it is as bad as people think.
So Scott was the subject of one of these particularly, and the book focuses a lot on the NFL side of it, right? I mean, we're talking about the NFL cold takes they probably provided. The thing is that when we talk about drafts and we talk about guys, the predictions that people make about guys who are going into the league or guys who've been in the league, you know, it's all subjective and it's very hard to predict how things are going to work out. So what was the genesis of Scott's freezing cold take that ended up making your book?
Well, the thing about that was I grew up in Miami. I grew up in about 10 minutes from the stadium in North Miami. I had season tickets to the Dolphins the whole time I lived, at least when the stadium first started, Joe Robbie Stadium. So when, when Dan Marino got hurt it was 93, right?
Yes.
Dan Marino got hurt. Scott had been the backup for 3 years, but no one really knew who he was because he never played.
It's Dan Marino. Played about, yeah.
Well, he played like one
World
play,
League.
Right? yeah, right. But he didn't play for the Dolphins. And he played like one play.
Seattle Seahawks, yes. Third down and 10 and, yeah.
At the Kingdom, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
yeah. Like, by the way, I thought I'd won the Super Bowl after that play. I mean, I played that one play and I was on cloud nine.
Yeah, so but he had been there like 3 years.
Right.
So Marino, who had never been hurt, he had maybe even hurt a couple games his rookie year, but he was always playing, and he never got hurt, and he tore his Achilles in Cleveland, and Scott came in through a pick six in his first play, but then a 99-yard return, I think it was.
97.
And then
not that anybody's counting.
But then he came back and won the game, and then the next two games he played fantastic. I mean, especially the third game, which was the second game he started, which was against the Chiefs of Joe Montana at home. And that was – so when that happened, after that game, which Dolphins won like 30-10, Greg Cody from the Miami Herald, who was the columnist there, he wrote an article about that suggesting that the Dolphins should trade Dan Marino and keep Scott. And it said the lead said, trade Dan Marino, keep Scott Mitchell.
Wow.
And it said, that's what it looks like in print. So when that happened, the next day, when it was like open season on Cody, like nobody had thought of anything like that. It was crazy. People were so mad at him. But what he was trying to say, and really, like, my whole life after that, I was like 12 years old at the time, so I didn't think about what the article said. But all we remembered was the headline or the lead, trade Dan Marino, keep Scott Mitchell. So, but what he was trying to say is, you know, so you had Scott, who was like 24. What were you, like 25, 26, 24?
Yeah, in my
young
mid-20s. Yeah, yeah, early 20s.
Yeah, so young, and free agency was just starting. It was going to be a thing the next, and maybe it would just started that past spring, and then the next spring there was going to be more free agency. The unrestricted free agency was new, but it was the last year of Scott's contract, so he was pretty much guaranteed to get courted and get a big deal the next year by someone. So Cody was saying, Marino's 33, and we have a great young guy here, so let's trade Marino, get a good return, and keep the young guy.
Right,
get a lot
right?
of value out of it. Yeah. I agreed with it, just so you know. I thought it was a brilliant idea. Are you kidding
like
me?
It's like trade Dan Marino.
Look, I love playing for the Dolphins. I loved it. And when I started playing at that time, I was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week the first game I played in Cleveland, the one I threw the interception. I was the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. So in that brief moment, you know, it really wasn't – that wasn't too far out of – you know, it was actually kind of a decent idea or at least something to consider in the moment.
Yeah, and that's really what the article was, according to Greg, who I spoke to about it. And I spoke to you about it for the book. You're quoted in the book. I don't know if you read the article. I hope I was fair to it.
I've read it cover to cover, every single word.
Not that article. The chapter, I mean, in the book about it, chapter two.
Right.
But yeah, that's what he was trying to say. He said, that's just something to consider. It's interesting, and it's something that that we could talk about now.
Well, GMs.
It wasn't ever going to happen.
Right.
Because they were never going to trade Marino.
Well, but GMs think about it. GMs think about it. Like, they have to consider everything and go, what's best for the long-term health of the team? What's best for us? This kid's been playing lights out. He was trained by Marino, I mean, essentially, and he kind of learned everything he knew at that point in the league and starts to have success right off the bat. And you just think, well, he's going to get courted by these other teams. If we could kind of lock him down and figure it out, then obviously trading Dan Marino. I mean, it's the same thing. I've heard people talking about get rid of LeBron in Las Vegas or in Los Angeles, right? Where you're just like, get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy. And people are like, are you nuts? It's LeBron. It's like, yeah, but he's old and there's all this stuff going on around him. And you have to consider it, even if people go, I hate you, man. That's one of the best players of all time. It's like, yeah, but he's getting old, and we got to consider the rest of them.
Another thing to consider, too, is I got injured. Like, I had a grade 3 separation on my throwing shoulder. I shouldn't even have returned, but I was able to return at the end of the season. It clearly wasn't at 100%, and I don't even know if I was at, 75%. It was really hard to play. And just didn't have the same velocity, and sitting out all those games I sat out was hard. But you look at Tom Brady,
same thing happened with Brady in 2016, 2014 through 2016 with Jimmy Garoppolo, especially when he was suspended and Garoppolo played well to start the season. In that season, I mean, but in 2016, when people started talking about trade or get rid of Brady and keep Garoppolo, that wasn't really surprising that happened in the way the media is now. And I think if this particular situation played out now, people would be talking about that on the next day on like First Take.
Right.
But then it was a big deal. Never happened.
Right.
It was something that just did not happen. So it was a big discussion. But yes.
Yeah.
But if Scott wasn't hurt, the Dolphins definitely would have made the playoffs.
Oh, boy. I have to hear that every day.
Yeah, and I think it would have been a bigger discussion by the end of the season. But what Cody was saying, there was no way. After the third game, there was no way that Marino and Scott would have been on the same team the next season.
You know, it was that was hard, too, for me because I love playing in Miami. I mean, I had discussions with my agent, like, why don't I just sign back here? Because of what you're saying, because Marino is old. Who knows how long or how effective he'll play when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And I love playing here. I know all these players. I know this system well. And he's like, not a chance. And by the way, the Dolphins offered me a crazy contract to stay. I mean,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty.
But you wanted to be the guy.
It was pretty enticing. But, yeah, I wanted to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I wasn't, I wasn't.
That makes more sense. Well, Jason Siegel's our guest, and he's his book surrounds the freezing cold takes that have to deal with the NFL side of things. So what are some of the best? What are the ones that people will go, oh, yeah, that is terrible? The ones that stand out the most when you put this book together?
Oh, well, chapter one on Bill Belichick has a bunch of dudes. He's like, the Patriots will regret hiring him. And all these different columns, like, just going off on him after he left the Jets earlier in the month, in January 2000, after like one day as their head coach. And then for 3 weeks, he was just getting trashed. And then when the Patriots gave up a first-round pick in order for the Jets to release him from his contract, so the Patriots could hire him, they got completely criticized of asking why anyone would want to hire this guy. That one is like a great one to look back at. There's a lot of one. There's like in in San Francisco, I have a whole chapter on Young and Montana, Steve Young and Joe Montana. Another situation which would never happen now because you can't have two great quarterbacks in your roster for 5 years. But back then there was no free agency. So Steve Young was still waiting to play he's still waiting to play as a starter. He had to sit behind Montana for a long time.
Right.
But what's interesting is that wasn't the only thing Steve Young had to deal with. When Montana got hurt in 1991, Steve Young was the starting quarterback. And then Steve Young was like having a hard time closing out games. Right. And that was like Montana's thing. And then, but Young got hurt. So they put in the third string quarterback, which was Steve Bono, out of UCLA, who was a pretty good quarterback, but did not have the same talent as Young clearly. And was, he was winning games, but in like ugly manner. And that at that point, people in San Francisco were really calling for them to trade Young and keep Bono. Young had to deal with that too.
When you go back and talk to people, I would assume that you were able to talk to the people that made the bold predictions or the freezing cold takes. What has it been like, and what's been their reaction like? I stand by what I said in the moment, or that certainly played out to be pretty stupid, what kind of feedback did you get from them?
Usually the ones that talk to me are the ones that don't care as much. The ones that I don't get any response to are the ones that say no. Those are the ones that don't like it.
Right.
But if they're willing to talk to me, they don't. They're fine with it. Yeah, and sometimes they say, it's fine. In the moment, I'm cool with it, like what I said.
Right.
I get a lot of that with Tom Coughlin. I have a chapter on Tom Coughlin. Like the 2 years before or the year before he won the Super Bowl in 2007, and during that season, there was like a campaign to fire him from the whole New York media, and they wanted to hire Charlie Weiss. And that's the type of thing where people say, in the moment, it was the right thing to say. It was the right thing to do.
Charlie Weiss's whole career is a freezing cold take. Like it's just like the guy, everybody thought he was going to go. So everybody thought he was going to do more than he did. Everybody thought he was going to go further than he did. And it ended up being egg on the face of, for the Fighting Irish. Of course.
Yeah. Well, he had one good season at like Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
One or two good seasons, and that was the time. That was the time period in which the Coughlin stuff was going down. So it really looked like he was a good coach. And then when Notre Dame completely fizzled out in him, then everyone realized about like what he was all about. But at that time, it was like, yeah, hire Weiss. Like this guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
Fire Coughlin. But that's really kind of what sports media is now these days. It's like what have you done for me lately? Like what happened right in the last game, your last game or your last season. So that's really what it's like.
Well, I stand by my position. I wish they would have traded Marino.
Oh, look at that.
I think a lot of things with Scott, and I wrote about it in a chapter, is that first of all, the reason why people discuss that article so many years is because of the fact that you didn't, go on to win any Super Bowls in Detroit. And
I had to hand the ball off to Barry Sanders all the freaking time.
but you weren't that bad in Detroit. But I think that people kind of overinflate your career in Detroit in terms of negativity.
Oh, big time.
Because first of all, you were one of the first people ever to get a huge contract. I mean, I think you maybe were the first backup quarterback to get the big contract. And we see it all now.
Do you know what my first contract was?
What's wild is how small a huge contract now is. Yeah.
it was $11 million over 3 years.
We go insane over
it. It was huge then, though.
Right.
That was huge. Yeah. Right. So when you don't don't win the Super Bowl there or whatever happened, but 95, you had a great season. I mean, I remember the regular season in 95, you were really good. Nobody considers that. I mean, the playoff game was not good, but you were really good in the season.
Well, we're looking forward to it. So he runs the Twitter. I look at this and I go, this is This is exactly the stuff that I love. Anything that ages like milk, anything that is a frozen take, anything that that are old takes that are exposed. When people try to sound – that's the thing is you can't just prop up the good stuff that you had out there. You have to look out there and go, here are also the duds that I threw out there too, because it's what we want. So Fred Siegel, old takes exposed on Twitter, but also the book is called Freezing Cold Takes, NFL Football Media's Most Inaccurate Predictions and the Fascinating Stories Behind Them. Finally, the media is exposed. Fred, thanks for being with us, man. We'll talk to you again, and thanks for jumping in and giving us a little bit of some perspective on the history of this thing.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it. It's fun.
Yeah, awesome. All right, we'll take the break here.
Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Go, what is that?
And the other guy.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's Unrivaled, everybody. Brought to you by the G2G bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G bars, perfect for anybody looking for that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. And that's what you get with the G2G bars. No preservatives, refrigerated, a local company, small batches, amazing stuff. Scott, let's get into the old NFL roundup. The chase for the FedEx Cup starts this week at the St. Jude's Classic on the Golf Channel, brought to you by Uinta Golf, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. I don't know what to think about Tom Brady saying that he's going to sit out. Oh, by the way, I was going to mention Fernando Tatis Jr., Tatis, is now suspended by Major League Baseball for 80 games because of a positive drug test. So this is probably
what kind of drugs?
I don't know.
It didn't, performance enhancing?
I'm assuming performance enhancing. It's a
so
PED stuff. So,
I was
so
at
usually
the, I was at the
80 games, and they go 160, and then I think, I don't know, it's, after that it's like a death ban.
I was at the Bees game with my son last night.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, and he goes, there's talk like the fans want the players to get back on steroids. They want to see more home runs.
Well, Aaron Judge is having like a year where you're like, whoa, he could be record-breaking here. And then it makes people think about that magical summer of 1998,
yeah,
where we're watching Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire.
It was pretty insane.
It was wild to watch.
Yeah. Fernando, it was fun to
Fernando watch. Tatis Jr. is the, I mean, maybe the premier young talent in the league.
One He's
of the,
pretty good.
One of the best. And so, and the Padres, they made all these deals to get all these great players so that they could compete against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And now that just all went backward, I think, with him. And so 80 games. Here's the thing, too. We're, I think a lot about that Doc
so
Ellis.
So 80 games is what, like?
That's a half a season.
It, like a couple of months.
For baseball?
Yeah.
It's a half a season. I mean, they're well past being able to – it'll have to be for part of this year and part of next year.
Wow.
I always think about the Doc Ellis thing where he was, you know, his old no-hitter when he was high on LSD.
Right.
And when he says what he says in that video, when he kind of recounts it, and it's a funny video to watch because it's all animated and it shows him, and it's kind of funny. He's high, but he throws a "I'm high as a Georgia pine." You know, that's like my favorite quote out of the whole thing. But he says something that I think applies to a lot of these people who dig into the PED side of things, and the temptation and how real that is. He goes, I was in the league, and we're taking so many uppers and so many downers. Everybody is trying to – because once you get to the bigs, you're like, I'm not leaving. I am not leaving. I'm going to do whatever I can to stay in this place. And I think that that's a Fernando Tatis Jr. kind of a move right now, is that where you go, okay, I've been injured. I'm trying to stay up with it. I do not want to fall out of relevancy with this team. And you get caught up in this stuff, and, you know – baseball is a world that, you know, has been totally changed by performance-enhancing drugs. They're the most aggressive in testing for it. They're the most aggressive in their banning of it and not affecting the game. So when I see this kind of thing go down, I go, this poor kid, he's trying so freaking hard to just stay there and not ruin it and not fall to the wayside and be one of the best. Yeah.
And in all their attempts to keep things, you know, regulate, whatever, you have to believe that he's probably not the only one.
Right, of course.
You know, and it's like, you know, can you really actually, I don't know, control it? Because I guarantee you guys in the NFL are like, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me, as you said, to be relevant, to make it. I know other people are doing it. I'll be behind all these people if I don't do it. There's tremendous pressure, especially with the monetary side of this today, where it's just there's so much money in it. It would almost become overwhelming or too tempting to just say no to it. You just be tough.
I said it before the break, but I want to bring the down vibe that we just brought with the PED suspension with Fernando Tatis Jr. The Little League baseball team out of Santa Clara, Utah, is in the Little League World Series, and I couldn't be more happy for those kids.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, I mean, my kid is a couple years removed from that 12U time. You know, you have this small window, right, where you can do this, go to Cooperstown, all that stuff. And just the amount of talent that these kids have. And I think I used to hate the Little League World Series on TV and be like, come on, ESPN. I don't want to watch a bunch of 12-year-olds hitting the ball around. It's really cool. And we have our first Little League World Series team out of the state of Utah, so congratulations to them. Next up on the old NFL Roundup here, Scott, since we are now getting into the NFL Roundup, what is Tom Brady's situation when it comes to when you say personal issues, is that really like a – is there really something going on here, or is it more like, nah, they're just going to say that and let him get back to camp? Todd Bowles yesterday, it sounds like a little bit more just because Todd Bowles yesterday goes, I'm almost certain he's going to be our starting quarterback in game one. It's like, oh, boy, that didn't sound great. And so when you see Tom Brady going, I'm taking some personal reasons of stepping away from camp right now, we just assume guys don't – well, obviously Tom Brady shouldn't have to play a preseason game ever for the rest of his life. But maybe this is a little bit more out there. It feels like it.
Well, Tom Brady's the kind of guy who just, if he's there, he's going to be there. You know, he's just not a guy that maybe takes time off, days off. He knows that his window is, you know, very, very narrow. And he knows what it takes for him to play. And I just have to believe he just doesn't feel like, to me, a guy that's going to miss things. So there could be a lot more to this. And who knows what it, you know, what that looks like. I mean, these things can always be something with your children, with your spouse, maybe, I know his mom has had some issues and maybe it's, you know, who knows what it is, but with a statement like that from your head coach, yeah, it probably sounds pretty serious.
I think it's, there's a question that was asked at the Washington Football Commanders, Washington Commanders team at a press conference that the team president took umbrage with and said that there was a pompous, unprofessional journalist. You tell me this is a real, if this is a pompous question here, Scott, if it's just a guy asking a question.
Aren't all journalists pompous?
Aren't all quarterbacks pompous?
Yeah.
Then the answer is yes. They cancel each other out.
They should get along just fine.
Real talk here, Carson. That's what this columnist said. Real talk here, Carson. It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think it's your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL? The team president said, that's an unfair question. It's unprofessional. Your thoughts on it?
My thoughts on
it? Yeah. Is that him? Is that him being a jerk, D-bag for acting like this, asking questions
think,
like
I
that?
Think I think the comment of, well, they didn't want you. That seems a little bit rash. You know, clearly they didn't want him, but do you have to say it that way? Just saying, look, you've had opportunities in Philadelphia and it didn't work out. And then with the Colts and we understand these things, you know, it's a lot of things go into why things succeed and fail, but you know, how many more opportunities do you think are out there for you? And do you feel like this might be the one? You know, that maybe that's a better way to phrase that question, but I think it's a valid question. And the reality is that that's the questions you're going to get, because until you answer that, and that's just the way the NFL is, until you answer those critics, you're going to hear that stuff, and you've got to be prepared to deal with it. How the question's phrased, you know, is anyone's guess, but I think it's a legitimate question to ask.
Yeah.
Well, I've been asked a lot worse than that.
Well, Carson Wentz handled all the questions fine.
And I'm sure he handled that one fine, too.
And the Commander's president said, good luck getting access going forward. That's what he told this guy.
Well, and see, that's a dangerous thing to do as well, because you don't ever win with the press. You can't shut the press out, right?
You can't tell one guy, hey, by the way, because you asked these tough questions, and what I deem unprofessional questions, you're not going to get access anymore.
Now, an unprofessional question, sure, there's validity to that. I mean, there have been people that have been unprofessional on the other side of it, from the player's side or coach's side, and they have issue. You're one of the most important things they tell you at the beginning of every football season in those long, boring meetings that you go into. They say the media is our friend. It's why this game is so popular. Make friends with the media. You have to be accessible to the media. It's part of your deal. It's part of your contract, and it's on a daily basis. So, you know, to say there's limited access, that I don't even know if they can make that statement.
Well, I don't think that was
unprofessional of a question.
No, and he asked like some
it's
a lot
kind
of
a jerk question, but
he added a lot of he asked a lot of questions that like Carson Wentz just handled. He goes, the guy asked you, he goes, hey, it's been widely reported also that you've been inaccurate during camp. What do you say to that? He goes, well, number one, it's camp, and number two, that's the first I've heard of it. So thanks for bringing it up. I didn't hear that. And he's like, oh, so you're not? He's like, I don't think anybody here would say that I'm inaccurate at camp. He's like,
or wildly inaccurate.
That's
crazy.
What
the heck is? If you're wildly inaccurate, you don't play in the NFL.
I'm wildly inaccurate. That's it.
Yeah.
Go out and throw with my kid. They're like, what's your problem? Hey, Alex, why were you wildly inaccurate? Reports are that you were wildly inaccurate in the backyard. Well, they're 100% true. I have no idea how to throw a football like a professional.
See, so that feels a little bit like you're kind of baiting a guy. And going
I know,
a little
for
bit.
Sure. Let's take another break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go here on the program. Right around the corner, we have our two-minute drill that you don't want to miss. We are just going to jump right in here and keep this thing going. We've had a heck of a day here at the warehouse, 1825 South. 300 West is where we're found, and then we're going to come back and have a little bit more. When we return, the 2-minute drill brought to you by Jerry Seiner Cadillacs. Stay right here with us.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hate BYU, Scott?
No.
Just tell everybody, would you? You hate BYU? Come on. I think that's a question that comes up a lot. People ask me, you hate Utah? And it's like, no, man. I know there are a lot of – I think there are a lot of BYU people. I mean, I did the pre-, half-, and post-game shows for a long time with BYU. I started Cougar Sports Saturday. I worked for the home of the Cougars for a long time, and I graduated from there. I did not grow up here with the same vitriol that you cats did. And the meanness that can go on. Today, the Twitter fight between Utah and BYU fans has hit a new weird level.
It has.
Where BYU has turned 100 years old in football. And so 1922 to 2022, and they created what they call the 22 Club, which is basically like a, you know, I think it's some level of like donation and kind of being a part of this, like, hey, we belong to this football, you know, club, and they call it the 22 Club. And Utah fans lost their minds and said, no, 22 is not you guys. 22 is Aaron Lowe, and it's Ty Jordan, and it's what our team stands for, 22% better every day. So you guys hoof it. Your 22 Club is garbage, and you're ripping us off, and this is our brand. And I went, what are we talking about? What is our freaking problem? Everybody just goes at each other. Go listen. Do you want to hate other human beings? Go on Twitter and search 22 BYU, 22 Utah, and just see the ridiculous arguments that go back and forth between people that have nothing better to do than to flip each other off from their virtual cars on the virtual freeway of Twitter.
Why can't it be a good number for everyone? And it does. It can have a different meaning for other people, but. You know, people are celebrating amazing things and positive things. And because I'll tell you, that end of third quarter tribute to Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe is just special.
Amazing.
It really is. It's really special. And the fact that BYU's been in the football business for 100 years, that's awesome, too.
You've got to celebrate that stuff.
Who cares?
I'm just telling you, the eye roll that happens is pretty wild.
Grow up, people. Seriously.
Grow up. Hey, you know what that music means, Scott? We're at the old 2-minute mark of the show.
I thought I meant to grow up.
Grow up, Scott. Here's your music. Right. What do we have on the two-minute drill here, buddy?
Well, late in the football game, you're going to the field, kick, field goal, score, touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so here we are. So same way, still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up. Finish show. Go home happy because we all get a participation trophy. And then we get a plethora of desserts, which include chocolate souffle from, we'll call it France, flan from Spain, key lime pie from Florida, gelato from Italy, and, of course, baklava from Greece. What do they have in German? Pastry?
Not the German chocolate cake. You know why?
I don't like German chocolate.
Because that's actually British.
Oh.
By a man whose last name was German.
Very.
So, no, but they do the Black Forest. They do the Black Forest cake.
Things you learn here on this show.
They do the Black Forest cake.
And all this time, I thought it was from Germany.
No. What do we have?
Black Forest sounds terrible.
Well, it's a place in Germany.
I know, but
so it's dark. It's cherries and dark chocolate in a cake. You don't like that?
No.
What is your problem?
Cherries and I'm not a cherry person. Cherry
okay.
pie.
Okay. Wow. I've suddenly reached I was here with you on the level of respect.
Kind
and
of
it's
in
gone,
the middle of the road.
Right, and now it's gone way far down.
And I'm okay with that.
You start dogging the cherry.
I'm okay with that. Well, I love cherries.
2 minutes.
By themselves. Just eat cherries. It's
oh,
amazing.
The Rainier cherries are out, too.
Yeah, very Oof. Good. Yeah.
They're like $98 a pound, but, you know, probably worth it. Inflation hit the cherry world hard.
People at Harmon's actually said, do you really want to buy this? Like, in the checkout clerks go,
this is $12.99 a pound, right?
Yeah, this is going to be $30 for 20 cherries. I recommend that you put them back. Buddy.
Oh, my gosh. That's why you got to go in there. Oh, my goodness. 2 minute drill brought to you by Jerry Seiner Cadillac. You can shop your way, get a piece of luxury that you deserve. Stop and test drive a Jerry Seiner Cadillac today. Miami Heat might be pursuing Kyrie Irving, Scott. You can pursue Kyrie Irving all you want, everybody else. You can have him. I just want you to know, I mean, this is the equivalent of like Kim Kardashian, right? Dating just across the world. It's like, wow, she's with him now? Fine. You guys can have each other. You guys can, it's just like this level of just like dysfunction, weird. You can have Kyrie Irving, all right? And I know that you get drawn in by what you see with Kyrie Irving, but you're not going to be the organization that suddenly can get to him. Every GM goes, oh, I'll talk to him. We're going to get him in and we're going to talk to him. You cannot change this man. He is a wild card.
I would pursue Kyrie Irving.
You're a glutton for punishment, though. You like a challenge. That's your thing. And the ego will work with it. Hey, Utah is going to continue their moment of loudness between the third and fourth quarter, which is good.
I'm so glad to hear that.
It's a big deal. They announced that today. Yeah.
You know, you think of those really cool traditions at Iowa when everyone turns and waves to all the cancer children in the hospital up on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
I know those meaningful moments are awesome. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know if the full video is going to be, but you know, the video that they had last year that meant so much, you know.
I think they should have.
They should at least just keep the celebration going, having the moment of celebration.
It really it cool. impacted other teams,
dude,
and it impacted.
What
the
was
Utes
crazy
too.
Was is I'd go to these.
Like, games. You could see
okay.
it got to them.
The
like,
Oregon game at Utah.
Yeah.
When they played it, all the Oregon players were like this on the field. Mouths open, helmets are off. They're in the middle of the field, and they're just like watching the video, and they're getting caught up in it, and they're cheering along with you. And then good luck on the next play, Oregon Ducks. You're about to get stomped by these guys who are inspired, and you guys are caught up in the moment too. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. All right, let's head out to Tom Curl one more time. Tom Curl, owner of the warehouse. He brought some amazing deals.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Unrivaled continues, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Davis Vision Summer LASIK Sale going on right now. Get rid of those contacts and glasses. Save $1,000 right now. Davis Vision offers routine eye exams, full-service optical center for prescription glasses, frames, contacts, full line of sunglasses, and you can get it all taken care of at Davis Vision, davisvisionmd.com. Scott, coming up next right here on the KSL Sports Zone, is KSL Sports Friday Night Red Zone. So stay tuned. Hear all the action of the first week of high school football as we get started here.
Starts tonight. Very excited.
So let's get it going. You can hear it all next after our program. I wanted to bring up the I'm bummed because the Dyersville-Iowa game is going to go away because, I don't know, there's some beef between Major League Baseball and kind of where the stadium was set up. And this game, I don't know how they can do this, Scott, because this game is like the most attention that Major League Baseball gets across like a more mainstream audience. The jerseys are cool. The location is obviously amazing. Last night, a couple things that I really like. The Cubs-Reds matchup, I get that these are old teams. You know, that we've seen play, you know, for you know, well over 140 years, 150 years in some cases with these teams. I get it historically. That's not a great matchup between two good teams, all right? And I'm not saying make it between the Angels and the Mariners or anything. But the game itself, fine. The Cubs won it. Harry Carey's hologram creeped me out, okay? I looked at it, and I was like, I watched a lot of Harry Carey on WGN when I'd come home from school and see him sing.
Iconic.
Sometimes, yep. Drunkenly, the take me out to the ballgame in the seventh inning. And I thought, this looks weird. We're in an age of CGI and AI that things look almost perfect.
Well, why is it weird?
It was a bad look. It looked weird.
This is the Field of Dreams. There's a bunch of ghosts on the field anyways. Okay. This is perfectly
normal.
Well, the
ghost didn't track for me.
Now, what would be cool is he sings and then they take the hologram and just carry him right into the cornfield.
The part that made me
That's
go,
what should happen.
I almost got choked up. Now, I have no heart, but, like, I almost got choked up.
Okay.
Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. having a catch out in the outfield. With the Field of Dreams.
Was it a hologram? Or was
no, those
actual,
are real people.
Real people.
Yeah. With the music going on from the movie, which I think is James Horner who put it. Who's the – I used to have all those soundtracks, and I just love that music from Field of Dreams. So those guys having a catch – made up for the fact that the Harry Carey hologram looked like garbage. So
okay.
That's what I really liked about
it. It's a ghost. I'm okay with
it. It's a ghost. The hologram's a ghost. Yeah. All right. For Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie, Lee doing a great job as a tech down here today at the warehouse. We also thank Tom Curl for hosting us as usual here at the warehouse. And Jeremy hitting the buttons back in Salt Lake. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you on Monday, everybody, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.